too tall, could have used a few pounds. Tight pants, points, hollering out. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sitting way up high. Way up firm and high. Out past the cornfields where the woods got heavy. Out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy. Working on mysteries without any clues. Working on our night moves. Trying to make some front page driving news. Working on our night moves. In the summertime.
1237, 720 WGN. Brendan just said we're going to play that every week, and I have no qualms with that. Let's do that every time this week, because you cannot but get into a good mood hearing some Bob Seger like that. Man, that's a good song. 312-981-7200. We're here until 1 a.m. So Brendan's like, what were we going to do the last half hour? And I said, Brendan, Microsoft has a patent on something that would help you talk to somebody who's dead. And he said, okay, let's talk about that. Let's do that then. So I heard this on Bob's show this morning. I think it was Friday morning. Maybe it was Thursday morning. I don't remember when. But Microsoft has a patent. They filed in 2017 and finally got granted. The idea is they would create an AI chatbot and maybe, you know, like a 3D digital version of somebody who's passed away. The patent is titled Creating a Conversational Chatbot of a Specific Chatbot of a Specific Person. Details a system that would access images, voice data, social media posts, electronic messages, and the like to, quote, create or modify a special index in the theme of the specific person's personality. You know, I always said, we played Paul Harvey here for, I don't know how many years, probably 30 years. And I always said that when Paul retires or passes away, they'll just keep going with it because you have so much archived Paul Harvey that you probably could, if they took all the tapes, ran them through a system, they could write new scripts and probably voice them and have them sound pretty darn good based on all the audio that they have of Paul's inflection and everything of millions of different words. If somebody wanted to take the time to do that, they probably could.
And a really talented editor can get that accomplished.
And I don't know if you'd have to, so an editor, you or I sitting there on a Pro Tools or Audacity system would take forever to do that. But you create a complex algorithm, computer, Bitcoin, whatever thing that I don't understand and put it all in there.
A Bitcoin algorithm, talk to the dead thing. Yeah.
Yes. You put all the 30 years of audio archives of Paul Harvey in there and then it separates them out by tone and intonation and all that stuff. You could probably write a script that would then match everything to and create something.
Oh, absolutely.
And it would be insane.
I mean, some of these automated programs that'll like watch, I don't know, like 100 hours of soap operas and then write a soap opera. This is like that next level of it can analyze everything and then recreate something even better.
So the idea here is some friend of yours died or some loved one, whatever it is, but they were active their whole lives on social media and in video and their voice and things like that. You know, John Williams does the Thomas Jefferson events. So Clay Jenkinson, who portrays Jefferson, has always said, listen, Jefferson was the most writingest of our presidents. He wrote, I think if I have the number remembered correctly, like 30,000 letters. So he's gone by all of Jefferson's writings and then answers questions of today based on what Jefferson wrote at the time. And he'll say, you know, Jefferson always said the world is for the living, not the dead. And things like that. He'll, you know, use these things to explain how Jefferson might have thought about the Iraq War, about immigration, about all of these things. So the idea would be that you take what a person wrote, what you can gather from their thoughts on things and everything else, and then you create an artificial intelligence type thing that theoretically you could then have a conversation with because they've gleaned their personality and everything else and they sort of live on, albeit virtually.
Now, what's to stop them from, this is just a far-fetched question that I have, thinking that they are actually that person?
Well,
I watch a lot of sci-fi.
I said this to my family tonight as we were talking about it at dinner. I said, so to me, what happens is somebody, because you think about it, the person who would probably do this is suffering severe loss and can't let go, can't accept that the person is gone. So there's a mental health issue there. And then if you have this chatbot, and say it was somebody who, I don't know, thought that people were out to get them or, you know, who knows what. And then because of this algorithm and this chatbot, they're expressing something weird that then causes that person who is alive to do something crazy or to think crazy thoughts. It sounds like there's a lot of ways it could go awry, especially if it was really interactive where you ask a question and based on everything that person had said over the years, it's going to give an answer. It sounds kind of scary. Now Microsoft, Tim O'Brien is the general manager of AI programs at Microsoft. He confirmed on Friday that there's no plan for this. I think oftentimes Apple and Microsoft and Google, they have ideas for things. They file patents. So if something comes of it, you know, they thought of it first. They started working on it and then they can, you know, keep going with it.
That's absolutely wild.
It is kind of wild. And there have been holograms, you know, Whitney Houston's performed Tupac,
yeah,
things like that. But that's not having a conversation.
Yeah, this is, it's somebody. Like taking those old bots of the early stages of internet where you would like talk to them and they'd talk the generic responses back. Yeah. And now they're actually,
well, you have that now. Anytime you sign on to some sort of commerce site,
yeah,
something pops up real quick and says, oh, can we help you?
Yeah.
And that's just a bot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Generally they'll ask the questions until they have to get you to somebody real or try to answer for you if they can. Wally's called in on the Team Hochberg phone line. Hey Wally, how are you?
Hey Matt, I'm doing well. How are you?
Is this my friend Wally?
It is, Matt. Absolutely.
Hey, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing very well.
Before you talk about this, hold on. Wally, I've got to ask you questions. Now, sure. For those who don't remember the old overnight show, Wally would call in from time to time from some far-flung corner of the world because for work he traveled insanely extensively for weeks and months at a time. Wally actually used to leave clothing and shoes in hotels around the world where he would be coming back a month or two later instead of traveling with everything all the time.
Absolutely right.
You had some health issues, so you quit traveling for a little while. Then we had the crazy pandemic. Has life gotten back to normal with travel, or how are things for you with work right now?
Hasn't gotten back to normal. I have my last flight, Matt, was March 13th.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right before it all went downhill.
Yep. It could start back up again soon. We'll see. I have not traveled at all. My wife and I were going to travel out to Colorado for Thanksgiving and see our three of our kids were out there. And about a week or two before, we said, you know what, we're just not comfortable with this. So, yeah, I've not traveled for work or pleasure at all.
Makes sense. Now, have you found through work of the last year, or are you sitting at home on your Zooms and doing stuff all days, probably at all crazy hours of the night, I imagine, too? And are you finding that, like, wow, I don't need to be on a plane for all this. I can kind of do this from here. Or are you thinking, ugh, this is tough. I got to get back on those planes.
No. You know what? I've said it's not as effective or as efficient. But it still is pretty darn good. You know, I mean, there's a lot of benefit, you know, being in the room and seeing the people.
Sure.
And a lot of our meetings, with, you know, in foreign countries are very difficult because there's a lot of body language that goes on, you know, during those meetings that you see, and especially just, you know, how people are relating to each other. And if it's just voices on the phone, you're missing that. And just having our team together also is, we're not as efficient or effective. We're still getting it done, and we're still doing well, but it's better in person. So I would think that normal for me is probably going to be still traveling, but probably not as much, and doing, you know, as much as I can, you know, from home or at least from Chicago, and not having to get on a plane and go God knows where.
So you think if the world went totally back to normal tomorrow, like somebody said, oh, we forgot, we can just do this, and the coronavirus is gone. Now it's gone. Everything's safe. You would talk to your boss, say, you know what, we were pretty productive this way. Let's cut this back. I still need to be there sometimes, but I don't need to be there all the time.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, yep. And I would say that's probably pretty common in talking to other people that, you know, will the business travel go away? Absolutely not. But I think it's going to be cut back a great deal. I think there's probably a lot of people who are saying, you know what, I can get this stuff done where it was people, I think before probably people were traveling because they were expected to travel.
Yeah.
And I think with people not traveling and stuff still getting done, I think that there's going to be a lot of working from home. And I think people have gotten used to it, you know, and if you're not maybe in the office, if you were typically 5 days a week, maybe you can do really well 2 days a week, something like that, you know, so you still have that in-person contact, but you don't have to, you know, put up with the travel, whether it's, you know, by train or by airplane or even driving or, you know, wherever, you know, you're not going to have to spend that time getting into the office and having everybody jammed in the office like we were a year ago.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with space for businesses that, you know, right now spend a lot of money renting a lot of space that found they were still pretty productive with everybody working from home. You're right. You still want to get the teams together. You want to have meetings and things like that. But are they going to rent floors of buildings when they don't necessarily need that space anymore? And how is that in turn going to affect the cities that rely on the economy of that?
Absolutely. And just, I mean, just think about it. People heading downtown. I mean, you know, company, I have a neighbor who works for a large bank, and he said, you know, they're taking a look at it right now, and they think they can get by with less than half of the office space they have right now. If they did something like I was just saying, you know, you can kind of hot desk, if you will. You've got the desk Monday and Wednesday, and I've got it Tuesday and Thursday, and Friday we both work from home. Right there, we just got our needs down 50%, you know, in our office space. If you and I were in the office at the same time, we need two desks. But if we can tag team on it, all of a sudden our real estate needs have gone down about 50%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating. All right. Tell me about this idea though, cause you had something to say on the idea of chatting with the dead through a virtual recreation of what we believe they would say based on all the things they said and recorded over their life.
Yep, it was a book that I read a couple years ago, and I thought it was something like The First Call from Heaven. And in the book, this guy was in this town and said that he could have people in the town contacted by their dead, whatever, relatives, family, friends, whatever it was. And people are like, what the heck? That doesn't make any sense. And sure enough, somebody calls up, somebody who's dead, or somebody in town, excuse me, receives a call from someone who's dead. And they say, oh, you know, I hope you're doing well, blah, 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 blah. It turned out that the whole thing was a scam because what he had done is, as you were saying, he had all of these telephone calls recorded. And they put this together. And, you know, I may say, hey, man, how are you doing? You could use that. And then I could, you know, you can put together whatever, pick 30 words from 3 hours worth of conversation that I can put it together and say, hey, I hope you have a great night on Friday night. Whereas I may have never said that, but I said each of those words and it was put together. So it was interesting when you were talking about that, because that was the whole premise of this book, that this guy had done this and kind of scammed these people, that the dead people could really call them. So this is interesting that Microsoft thinks that they can put something like this together. But like you said, they've had Whitney Houston has done,
My assumption is those holograms are just recordings of actual performances that they've recreated. Maybe I'm wrong in that. I always assume those holograms were just videos that they created a hologram for so you could see it more in a 3D way.
I don't know. I thought there was something just within the last maybe year. I thought they had stuff where like they were creating like Ronald Reagan making a commercial for Donald Trump, where he never would have mentioned Trump's name probably.
Sure.
But they put together the words and they had pictures of Reagan that they were able to make it look like he was saying that.
These,
make it sound like it.
These deep fake videos are a big thing out there. Deep fake videos are something that gets written about quite a bit, where you can make video now to represent something that never did happen or people in ways.
Even apps that do it all for you. That's super
easy. I see these
apps on Instagram, though. I can look at what it's called.
You can put your face on a video in a movie and it'll look like your face. It's crazy.
You just circle out your face, put it over whatever clip you want, and boom, it's there.
Wow. Yeah, it's insane.
It's very scary.
Well, Wally, in the story I'm reading about this, have you ever heard of a show called Black Mirror?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It's been recommended to me. Yeah, it's been recommended to me.
There was a 2013 episode. It's a British sci-fi series. In a 2013 episode titled Be Right Back, A bereaved woman played by Haley Atwell hires a service that lets her interact with a shockingly accurate AI recreation of her dead boyfriend. This version of him is based on his past online communication and social media profiles.
Wow.
So the idea has been out there.
There was a there's also another show where, wait, was that it? Black Mirror, where the guy dies.
Weekend at Bernie's?
No. That was a good one, but that's a whole different thing.
No, it was not, but it was one.
You're right. That's right. It wasn't that good. It was entertaining. It wasn't good. I don't think that's the show. It's a show where, the guy dies, and you can kind of pick what world you go to, and you can interact. I don't think that was Black Mirror, though. Maybe it was. The guy is interacting with her, and she can actually, like, pop into, he's at some, like, resort because she paid the money for it, and it turns out that he was actually killed by a business partner. I mean, it kind of gets weird. He was killed by a business partner, but before he died, you made a decision as to whether you were really going to be dead and forgotten or whether you were going to go into this alternate world to live. I don't know, remember the name of the show. I didn't think it was Black Mirror.
That's interesting.
But there's someone who's interacting with the dead person, which is really kind of weird.
As you started describing it, your description made me think of the movie Ghost.
Same, yeah.
Because Patrick Swayze's business partner that killed him or something like that?
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember who killed him, but I think that was part of a kind of a interaction after he had died.
And that he's just a ghost, though. He's not AI.
But the people in this show were kind of, and someone's calling or someone's texting, I'm sure now because they've seen it. The dead guy, his main point of contact in the real world was this girl at a call center. Basically, I mean, she's just in this warehouse and she goes in and she dials in and, and this is one of the 30 people that she's responsible for.
You know what? A fascinating movie actually that does relate to this. In a very interesting way, not about somebody being dead, but about AI seeming lifelike, is a movie starring Joaquin Phoenix called Her, H-E-R. Scarlett Johansson is in it, and in it, it's in the future some way. His phone, which doesn't look like our phones, it's even smaller, but he just puts an earpiece in, and it's so instead of you talking to Siri or Alexa, it's just like that, but it will have conversations with you. It will do everything you need. It will make lists, whatever it is. But it also talks to you about your life and your fears. And he falls in love with his OS on his phone. Okay. It's the operating system of the phone, and he's in love with it. And it's fascinating.
I loved that movie.
It is really fascinating.
I absolutely loved that movie. It was so interesting. Joaquin Phoenix is a great actor, obviously. And watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, Wally,
the movie
watch
was
it.
Her?
Check that.
Man,
just
her,
H-E-R.
H-E-R.
Yep, Her.
Okay.
Right? I have that right, Brennan?
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah,
it's Her.
Called Her, and it's...
Came out like 5-6 years ago, I want to say.
At least five or six years ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I saw it early college.
It really is fascinating, Wally. Check that out when you get a chance.
They're very good. Very good. Great show, Matt.
Hey,
great show.
It's great to hear from you. Stay healthy, my friend, and we'll talk to you again when you're back overseas, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Wally. Thanks. Have a great weekend. That's our friend World Traveler Wally. Not so World Traveler anymore. It's a new world, everybody. All right. Matt Bubala here. We are going, and by the way, that movie, Her, Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know how we say it. I say Joaquin.
Joaquin is how I've heard it.
Wait, Joaquin?
Joaquin.
That's right. Joaquin. I don't know. Sorry about that.
No, we can call it that from now on.
Joaquin Phoenix, who is also really good in Walk the Line. I haven't seen that in a while. But that
also
was a great
fantastic
movie.
In Walk
what
the Line.
What a great movie.
And there's another one. I got to look it up before the end. I'll tell you after.
That he's in? Okay. Joaquin Phoenix, the movie is Her, H-E-R. And, it's slow moving. It makes you think about the future and our relationships and our interconnectivity. It really, really is good. We'll be back next week on, we'll be back on Friday night at 10 o'clock or maybe later if there's a Blackhawks game on. But thank you very much for being with us, everybody. We really do appreciate having you as listeners at WGN Radio. It's always good to have you on board. We're here for you always at 312-981-7200. I want to give you one last comment that I got from a listener. I have a PhD in chemistry, so I've taken the most complex math possible, and this makes no sense. This is about our Bitcoin conversation. Until I can go to the Ford dealer and buy a Mustang with it, I want nothing to do with it. We'll keep up the conversations about Bitcoin in the weeks to come, here and there, I'm sure. But follow me on Twitter at Matt Bubala, on Instagram at Matt Bubala, and give our Facebook page a like, The Matt Bubala Show on Facebook.